The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Part of the Answer, the show where you get a peek into the minds of some of Chicagoland's best and brightest business leaders. Hear the success stories behind their companies and get to know them inside and outside of the boardroom. No press releases, no sound bites, just an authentic conversation that explores from the moment their business was conceived to the vision for its future. Now, here's your host, Mike Scott.
Well, good morning. This is Dan Ehrman filling in for Mike Scott today, and I'm joined in studio with Peter Fazio of Chapel Design Build. Peter, thanks for coming in.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to talk with you. We were chatting a little bit before this. I used to work for a design builder for 15, 20 years. And so to meet someone in the industry still and to hear a little bit about what you do, why you're passionate about it, and just introduce people to who is Peter Fazio at Chapel Design Build. And you grew up in the trades. Your dad was a plumber. You worked with your brothers. Share a little bit about how that prepared you for what you're doing now at Chapel.
Yeah, ironically, I actually attended college at Columbia College downtown, and I was majored in photography and advertising arts, and I did that for a few years. And one thing led to another, and I ended up working in the family business that had already been established by my dad and my brother, Jack. And that was my introduction to it. And, you know, it's funny because no matter where you are and what you've studied, it kind of all somehow applies. And it really does, believe it or not.
Yeah. How do you get from photography to plumbing? Where have you seen some kind of overlap in the impact of that?
Well, my marketing experience certainly played a hand in every aspect of business. PJ Fazio Plumbing, which is still an entity out there, doing commercial plumbing. Other than doing like many, many restaurants in the Chicago area, eventually we opened up a service division. And of course, that required a lot of marketing and whatnot. And I've always enjoyed marketing anything, to be honest with you. Mm. That led to my departure about, 7 years ago, I'd say. And I started a rep agency representing designer shower and bath products. And of course, that was something I really enjoyed too, because it was still in the building trades and it was just exciting. I like sales. I applied my marketing skills to that as well.
Yeah. So you've kind of been on a whole bunch of different levels in the contracting world and bring all of that to now running a design build firm.
Correct.
How have things developed with Chapel? You came in 2017, took over the business. What are you changing things there or continuing on? What's kind of your vision?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Chapel Design Build has been around for, actually, we celebrated our 70th anniversary last year. And I am technically the fifth owner of record. And it's, you know, it's kind of humbling to take a company that's been around that long. The originator of the company, the original owner, was John F. Chapel. Never met the man. I've done a little bit of research on him. It's interesting how over the years the company has changed and evolved into, you know, at one point I think they had 150 employees. They did all their own erecting, and there was the only thing that was consistent over the 5 years, owners, 70 years. Was the relationship with Butler Buildings, Butler Manufacturing, which is the pre-engineered metal building manufacturer that we work exclusively with. But my point to that originally was being the fifth owner of record. It's kind of humbling because you certainly don't want to see the company falter or, you know, its demise under your watch. So that's something that is of utmost importance to me. So what we've tried to do with my dream team, as I like to call them, is evolve, take what we've got what we took in 2017 and add some more dimension to it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're doing. So as such, we've done some work downtown, some renovation work on a high-rise downtown, and, you know, just different types of projects. Interior renovations is something that I've often been interested in. I want to start doing more re-roofing. You know, Butler has a great product of metal roofing product, and we can apply that. So there's options there. And
is that like a standing seam?
It is.
Metal roof?
Well, the standing seam, the MR24 roof, which doesn't mean a lot to the listeners, but the standing seam metal roof is really the superior roof. It is offered by other manufacturers, but we really do have the best product for a number of reasons. And just the opportunity to re-roof with metal, especially if you do metal over metal, there's always that option of some significant tax ramifications that can put some money back in the owner's pocket. So that's just another opportunity, and that's what we look for, are these types of opportunities to grow our business.
Are there particular industries that you have honed in on, and different? There's lots of different kinds of construction out there.
Well, there is, and we're seeing a lot of growth in really across the board in all the industries. So typically, you want to talk about manufacturing, okay, because that seems to be what drives the economy. But especially in, to be topical, as we're seeing with this virus threat, how it affects some industries like hospitality and travel and whatnot. Prior to this recent incident, if you want to call it that, we were seeing a lot of growth in, the hotel industry, travel industry. We have successfully completed a couple of airport hangars. In fact, we've got another one on the drawing board right now.
Wow.
And, we're hopeful to continue on with that. So you're still seeing it, growth in that area. And hospitality, as I mentioned, manufacturing still remains strong as inventory seems to be low in office warehouse type of buildings. So we're still seeing that very, very strong in the market. And again, it's right across the board. Education, just about everywhere you look.
Wow. So if you're just joining us, you're hearing from Peter Fazio at Chapel Design Build. It's chapeldb.com. That's chapeldb.com. And if people want to reach you, your office number is 630-523-5590. And, you mentioned hangars. How tall is an airport hangar?
Well, it can vary.
Yeah.
How tall is your plane? really, because, you could have a single engine plane, which would require a much lower hangar. And, the one we did was, for like Gulfstream aircraft, so you're talking upwards of 40 feet tall and whatnot. So,
wow.
It's really quite impressive. Even just the door systems, how they work. It's just incredible. But I was going to mention, you're talking about activity in the industry and where we're seeing growth. I just came back from a trip in Austin, Texas. And, one way that you may have heard that you can always kind of, see where we're at with growth in construction is to count cranes. And so, in fact, I remember during the so-called Great Recession that we just came out of, I remember being downtown Chicago and not seeing a single crane. And that really was indicative of what was going on in the industry, which was basically nothing. But when we were in Austin, Texas, at one point, and we were right downtown, I was on a rooftop restaurant, and I counted, I think, 18 cranes. And
Whoa.
That, to me, is a booming economy.
That's huge.
Yeah, because that directly reflects what's going on in the economy.
I lived in China in 2003, 2004, and I remember seeing just explosion of there may have been 50, 60 cranes in a small regional city I was in, and it's called Hohhot in Inner Mongolia in China, and just the boom there, it just unprecedented, and to see the slowdown and the ripple effects to the global economy from that, but to look at Texas and to see booming going on has got to be so encouraging as a builder.
Well, it is, and then you want to gauge what's causing that boom. Now, I don't don't know what was causing in China. It might have been necessity for, you know, residential units. I don't know. What was that the case there?
That was part of it. Yeah, it was industry. It was business. It was residences. It just an explosion of investment, you know, the last 20 years. And to see that start to slow down now, it'd be interesting to see what is going to be the outflow of that, even for materials. And, you know, will costs come down? Will there be less access and shortage? It'll be fascinating to see kind of what comes out from whether it's the coronavirus or oil dropping in price and all the rest in the larger global economy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's pretty exciting, though, to see that kind of stuff. In fact, you know, Texas is an interesting state. It's such a transient state to begin with. And now especially they're seeing a lot of new residents coming in, mainly out of California. And I think that's part of what's driving the boom there. In fact, and it sounds like you're going to be going to a break here, but we can talk when we get back. We're talking about opening up an office in Houston, because that seems to be an area that continues to boom.
That's beautiful. You're hearing from Peter Fazio with Chapel Design Build. I'm Dan Ehrman. And when we come back, indeed, we will touch on your vision for Texas and the vision for Chapel Design Build.
Of AM560's Part of the Answer, a behind-the-scenes look at some of Chicago's most successful businesses. Once again, here's Mike Scott.
Well, here is not Mike Scott. I'm Dan Ehrman filling in for Mike today here on Part of the Answer on AM560, and I'm joined with Peter Fazio. And Peter, you're the president and owner of Chapel Design Build. You guys are a Butler builder, but also provide a whole big scope of services in what you do in construction. You've been around in Chicago for 70 years, and you...
Well, wait, I haven't been around for 70 years. No, wait a minute.
Well, we just hit a sensitive topic there. But, you know, Chapel has been around for 70 years here in Chicago, and you have some vision of expanding. You had mentioned just before the break, and would love to hear a little bit more of your vision and what that could become down in Texas.
Yeah, so, you know, Texas, as I mentioned, has become really, as a state, an emerging market for building due to the fact that there's such an influx of new residents coming in. I don't know the statistics. It's interesting, just as a side note, how you can see, you know, the politics changing in that state. And I guess it's safe for me on the station.
If there's any
to
station
pontificate
in Chicago,
a little bit on that.
You have reached your mark there.
Yeah. So, you know, you have a lot of people from California moving over to Texas.
Yes.
And along with that, they bring their politics. Mm. And so you're seeing a shift, you know, from a very bright red state to a purple state. And I believe that's the reason why it's like that, because, you know, with the new influx of people, they bring their politics and they start electing their local politicians, their congressmen and whatnot. You start to see changes.
Wow. That can have tremendous impact for a state like Texas. It's almost, in some ways, Texas is its own entity in America.
They are. You know, I don't know if you travel much in Texas, but...
I lived there a couple of years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
in Midland.
Okay. So I've spent some time in San Antonio. Okay. Not in Dallas, but again, Houston and Austin. And, you know, they're a real proud people. And they're really unique. They're real loud. And I don't mean loud in the sense of boisterous, but, you know, their just personalities are loud. In fact, I've just bought my first pair of boots. because everyone there has boots, you know.
Yep.
So
it comes with the territory.
It does. So. It does. But, yeah, so the Houston, we're excited about the prospect of doing some building in Houston after meeting with my Butler regional sales manager. I asked if there were any areas in the United States that maybe didn't have any, you know, good representation, because I feel as though I know as though we can run a lot of that estimating and whatnot through our offices right here in Illinois, and provide the building and erecting for a Butler building in what has turned out to be the Houston market. So we're excited about that, and like Austin, there's a lot of building going on there right now.
So we've mentioned Butler a couple times, and you guys are a Butler career builder, which is a delineation that just demonstrates both the longevity and the proliferation of the work that you've done with them.
Yeah, correct. It's kind of funny. Actually, we're not 100% sure how long we've been a Butler builder. It's close to 70 years that, you know, the full 70 years that we've been as Chapel. And over that period of time, we've nearly reached 100 million in Butler product, which is going to be a neat milestone. We'll have to have a celebration for that. Who needs an excuse, right?
Well, that's huge. And, you know, when you look at steel buildings and, you know, of an overall cost of a building, you know, the structure can be a chunk of that, but it's not, you know, it's not 90% of the cost by any stretch of the imagination. It's probably a lot closer to 10 to 20% of the overall cost of a building, depending on what kind of structure it is. If it's more of a warehouse, it's going to be more of that cost. But, you know, you've got so many other factors in construction. So to have done almost $100 million in steel product is tremendous.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that earlier. You know, in the early days, to do $1 million, like, say, in the 50s, I mean, what does that even equate to now? I'm not even sure.
But I would imagine it's got to be 20 times, maybe 30
yeah.
times as much now.
Yeah, they were rocking and rolling, you know, some of the previous owners, and as I mentioned. You know, the company's grown and shrunk and grown and shrunk, but it's always been consistent in its relationship as a Butler builder and as a design builder in the Chicagoland area. So, and that was one of the attractions for me to get involved in this company was its reputation. Kind of an interesting story. When I was still in college, I was working summers for my father, and he asked me to get involved in a series of emission control stations, the testing stations that we do here in Illinois for your emissions. And he said, yeah, I've got about 16 or 18 of these, and, you know, I could work you for, you know, a good long time if you want to work on these. I said, sure, no problem. So that's what I did. And that was 1984, 85, or I don't even remember. But the name of the company that we were doing those for was Chapel Design Build.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so all these years later, now I'm running Chapel Design Build. So it's kind of one of those weird circles of life, right?
Oh, that's fascinating to see that come to kind of full circle. Yeah, that's got to be bizarre to kind of look back on and see that in history and to have vision, too, to take on a design builder. You know, I think so often in Illinois, we can look at, you know, numbers trending down and people leaving the state. And yet you've really doubled down into Illinois and seeing the impact of that as a business owner. How did you have courage to kind of step into this environment and take that on?
Well, you know, really in any industry, you know, if you want to talk about the Illinois market or the Illinois experience, business experience, yeah, it's a tougher environment. There's no question about it, for sure. And, you know, a lot of it obviously revolves around our politics and our political leaders. But regardless of how tough it is, I've always looked at anything as, okay, so if you've got this much work in this box that's contained in this box, right, your mission is to figure out how to get as much share of that, whatever that is. And, you know, and that transcends into bad economies, you know, just about anything. You know, I can remember years ago actually recording Ask Your Plumber on another station.
Nice.
And I was sitting there with in their green room there with, I think, five other plumbing contractors. And it was during a downturn in the economy, and they were all talking about, oh, geez, I've got to, you know, I have to sell this. You know, we're really in financial trouble. I'm not doing any marketing. I can't afford it anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the last thing you want to do. Now's the time, if there's a smaller amount of work available, now would be the time that you want to market yourself and tell everyone why you're advantageous to do business with. Okay, because there's always something out there, you know, so. I don't know if that answered your question. I don't remember what the question was.
No, it's okay. We were talking about Illinois and just having courage to do business in Illinois and what that's looked like for you. You know, we touched on Butler as well and you guys partnering with them over the years. But the scope of what you guys do is a lot bigger than just Butler Buildings. And so I'd love to kind of get into a little bit of what is that larger scope and what does that look like for your customers and who you serve in the market?
Yeah. And the thing with Butler is they're a great partner, really. And as I'm looking for new markets, they are growing as a company and offering assistance in those markets. Good example is we're currently doing a 133,000 square foot climate controlled self-storage facility in New Lenox. It's a $9.5 million project. It's a nice project. And previously that wasn't something that, you know, Butler was heavily involved in. And now more recently they're offering those products to do self-storage, you know. So, and self-storage, by the way, that's one of the sectors that has become really, really big, mainly driven, I think, by the millennials.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed millennials would be using self-storage.
Well, they are because they're buying smaller homes.
Okay.
You know, so that they don't have that type of capacity to put their things in, so to speak. It's also driven by sales. It's driven by a lot of things, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, well, when we come back from the break, we're going to get into a little more of the work that you guys do with the impact of generations of Chicago, of your vision for Texas, and all the rest. You've been hearing from Peter Fazio with Chapel Design Build. I'm Dan Ehrman here on Part of the Answer.
Listening to AM 560's Part of the Answer, an authentic conversation with some of Chicagoland's best and brightest business leaders. Here's your host, Mike Scott.
Well, good morning. This is Dan Ehrman in for Mike Scott today, and I am talking to Peter Fazio with Chapel Design Build. He's the president there, and he has been running the company since 2017, but the company's been around for 70 years. And part of the vision, Peter, that you bring to Chapel is really rooted in your values and who you are in that. And so I wanted to touch on not only your values, but also on Chapel Charities and what you guys have been doing in the community.
Well, you know, we were talking during the break about a previous profession that I had in photography, you know, commercial photography. And it was great and it was very, very interesting. But, you know, one of the things I always had difficulty with was I didn't feel like it had, and I don't want to offend any professionals because, it, you know, we're all doing our job. But for me, it didn't have enough redeeming values to it. Building is very unique in not only to see vision come to life, which is very exciting and fulfilling, but it so represents really the growth and advancement of a society when you really think about it. And you see it in our big cities. You know, so for me, that's the excitement and the fulfillment to building and construction.
No, that's huge. And I think it becomes something that's representative of vision and economy of business and everything represented around that in the people that are impacted ultimately in those facilities and what that means for a community. And so for you, that impact of community has kind of come you know, into who you are as a business, and you guys have launched Chapel Charities, is it called?
Yeah, we're just launching that now, actually. And you know, that again, you know, if I'm going to do this or do anything, you know, there's got to be some kind of give back. Yeah. So, I have my favorite charity. I've been involved with Lazarus House in St. Charles. It's a homeless shelter and center for transitional living that serves the Tri-County in rural Kane County areas. And, you know, certainly, you know, it's nice when you can, not only as a person, but actually bring your business into doing something that gives back. So what we're trying to do is mandate some kind of involvement in the community and continue to do so with various charities. So of course, now I'm going to get 5,000 phone calls. Well, we need money.
You know, but for Lazarus House, talk a little bit. How did you end up getting involved at Lazarus House? What drew you to partnering with them?
Well, it's actually a construction story. So the associate pastor at my church came up to me one day after service and asked me if I had heard of Lazarus House. And I said, yeah, I think I've heard of it. You know, I knew a little bit about it. It's right downtown in St. Charles, Illinois. And he said, yeah, they've got a little project. They need some help with some plumbing repairs. And would you be willing to get involved? And I said, well, sure, absolutely. You know, tell me who I need to talk to. So he put me in touch with them. And as it had turned out, they had just purchased a two-story building right across the street from the emergency shelter. And it was to be the Women and Children's Day Center. And it wasn't repairs. We ended up plumbing the whole building. and that was fine, and we were happy to do it. In fact, one of our plumbers at the time got involved, and so we did it. You know, we replumbed the whole building, and we felt good about that. And then about, 2 weeks after we were finished, I got a phone call from the executive director then, our founder, and she asked me Darlene Markison asked me if I would consider being on their board of directors. And I thought that was pretty nervy, but she's a pretty nervy lady. And I thought, wasn't it enough that we just plumbed your building? You know? But so I jumped in, and that was about 13 years ago. And we've grown quite a bit as an organization. And it's a privilege to serve on the board and to volunteer there.
That's huge. How many people are kind of served by Lazarus House in like in a year or over the years?
Gosh, shame on me for not having those stats in my head. But but at any given time, we could have, you know, 70 people were serving, you know, on any given day.
Wow. Wow. And how long do people typically use the services from Lazarus House?
Well, you know, and that's a big part of who we are at Lazarus House is, you know, we're not just there to just give a handout, although we're certainly there in our emergency shelter to treat an emergency situation. But the goal is always to bring that person to independence again. So not only are we an emergency shelter, but we have a center for transitional living. We have transition apartments. So once one of our guests qualifies, we'll move them into their hopefully eventually find a place that they can, you know, start a new life and be on their own again. We also do mortgage and rental assistance for people who are at risk of being homeless. We've just grown. The program's just grown just an amazing amount from the time when we first started, and it's just really impressive. We're at 21 years old now, I think.
It's huge. You're hearing from Peter Fazio, not only a board member at Lazarus House, but also president of Chapel Design Build. And we're going to come back from the break and talk more about how you guys are impacting the community here in Chicago on Part of the Answer. I'm Dan Erman.
To Part of the Answer on AM 560, a peek inside the minds behind some of the most successful businesses in Chicagoland. Here's Mike Scott.
Well, good morning. I'm Dan Erman, not Mike Scott. I'm in for Mike Scott today, and I am joined in studio with Peter Fazio of Chapel Design Build. And Chapel is spelled C-H-A-P-P-L-E. Your website is chapeldb.com. And if people wanted to reach you, Peter, what's your phone number?
Yeah, it's 630-523-5590.
And for, you know, business owners who are looking to take on a construction project here in Chicago, what is that point in the process when they need to call you?
Well, we're a design build general contractor, so they really should call us at first thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do encourage that. A lot of times we'll get phone calls and people will ask, you know, we're thinking about doing a building and we're just trying to get an idea. And I go, well, let me come out and look at, you know, what you've got, you know, what your property looks like or what your existing building looks like. And, you know, we can put together a budget for you. And they're, no, we don't want you to, you know, no, that's what we do. You know, so, the whole design build approach is just that, you know, from preliminary budgets to preliminary drawings, and you know, right on through to we get to some kind of a contract and move forward. So there's a lot of advantages to doing things with a design-build approach.
That's huge. That was my experience in the industry as well. I remember back in the 90s of needing to actually explain what design build was. It was a fairly new concept developed more in the 80s in the U.S. And to see that really proliferate now, the partnership and the impact that you can have with that, of, well, it's a little more seamless than your kind of standard intention between the client and the builder and the architect.
Well, it is. I don't know. It's more genuine. I mean, it's more of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, in the world of building, you know, we talk about bidding, the bid process, and most people believe that that's their best opportunity to get their best price. And that's not always the case. You have a lot of general contractors out there who just bid, and that's all they do. And we will bid. We, you know, if we see the right project that we feel fits us properly, we'll go ahead and bid on it as well. But with the design build approach, you know, you're dealing with a single source. Okay, so you're not driving around from architect to engineer to different general contractors and site walks, and you know, it gets very complicated. If you start with one company and develop a relationship and work through the project from its inception, you're going to end up with a better project. You're going to end up with cost savings, and that can be accomplished through design, through value engineering. These things need to be discussed not just at the point where the architect is putting the drawing together, but right on through. And you know, and you can do that if we're handling the drawings and everything. You know, we can start out with a budget, and then we can talk about how we can bring that budget down by some initial cost-saving ideas. And then when we get our subs involved, then we talk with them on how can we further do. So it's a kind of a living, breathing type of thing till you hone it down to where the customer's comfortable. Then we can put together a final proposal and move forward with the project. And even after that, sometimes there's opportunity to still find some cost savings. The other thing is that you save time because you're not going through this tedious process.
Right.
You know, so that's a really important thing. And I think that based on our reputation, and as can be seen on our website, you can see all the different buildings that we've done over the years. You know, you're going to get a high quality product, and that's not just with Butler, because we, you know, we have this great relationship with Butler. But no matter what we do, you know, there's always going to be that that whole aspect of it. So we're more flexible when you're dealing with a design build contractor. There's more flexibility.
You're hearing from Peter Fazio with Chapel Design Build. Their website is CHAPPLEDB, so that's chapeldb.com. And if people want to reach you, your office number is 630-523-5590. And so for you, Peter, one of those things with building, it's not like manufacturing a car where the assembly line just rolls off everything, but everything in commercial construction is pretty much always customized in some way. But in doing a design-build approach, it really requires trust. And how have you seen your business partners and really your clients build trust with you over the years?
Well, I think it's just accomplished through the partnership that you develop from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, it really is that simple. And just, you know, expressing to them that this is your building, you know, you're driving the car here. And just because this is what was set, it's not set in stone. We can always make changes as we go along. And those decisions that are made are critical not only in the early stages of the design build process, but right as you go along. And I've seen them over and over again, and they're really relevant too, you know, so.
You can see, you know, sometimes I would see change order processes come up with some. But when you're a design builder, you really work to streamline and reduce the number of change orders in a project. It can be really a huge impact. It can have a 5% impact on a project.
Well, here's the thing. I was a subcontractor, remember. So I was a plumbing subcontractor in the commercial building industry. And yeah, you know, that whole changeover thing is always a nightmare, you know. So I've seen it from both sides.
Yep.
And I think that can be avoided a lot, again, when you're going through this process as a design build contractor. A lot of those questions can be answered prior to getting started so you don't have all these changes.
Well, we're going to hear more from Peter Fazio with Chapel Design Build right after this. I'm Dan Erman in for Mike Scott on Part of the Answer here on AM 560, The Answer.
Now, more of AM 560's Part of the Answer, a behind-the-scenes look at some of Chicago's most successful businesses. Once again, here's Mike Scott.
Good morning, and once again, this is Dan Erman in for Mike Scott today here on Part of the Answer on AM 560. Thanks for joining us. I am in studio right now with Peter Fazio, and he's the president of Chapel Design Build. They've been around for 70 years, but not Peter. Peter has not been around for 70 years doing this in Chicago.
God, no. I wouldn't admit to it anyway.
But you have grown up in the building trades, your father's plumbing business and working in that, and you come in with a vision for doing design build, not only in Chicago, but also looking toward Texas and opening up there. And you also bring a heart and a vision for the community that a building is not just a building, and there's a sense of what comes with that, and also your partnership with Lazarus House and supporting impact in the community in St. Charles. But for you guys at Chapel Design Build, let's talk a little bit about what types of businesses do you serve and who do you build for?
Well, it's really across the gamut. Although, you know, we like to boast about certain projects, the hangars we've done are absolutely beautiful. Athletic facilities, you know, these big buildings certainly are impressive to look at. I understand that. The bread and butter, office warehouse is always a nice category to work in. It seems like there's a great demand for that. But again, we don't walk away from anything. When I first was taking over the company, in fact, from the prior owner, I had an opportunity to work on a 12-story building downtown in the city.
Wow.
And it was an LSE renovation, life safety equipment. And it was a nice project. And the prior owner was a little nervous about taking that because that wasn't in his experience, really. And when you're working downtown, for example, on an old building, a lot of things can come up. But I really wanted to do the project, and I thought it was important because it was going to move through, you know, the change of ownership, and I needed a nice project like that. And it was very, very successful, and we did very well on it. So again, the categories of, renovation, office warehouse, athletic facilities, storage facilities. We have the capability to do some, not high rise, but, up to 8-9 stories, so we're really not going to walk away from anything. And there really aren't jobs that are too small either. I mean, really, we don't do residential. I won't deny that. But for the right price, I guess I do anything.
No, it's amazing when you get into commercial construction of just the variety of what you can do with that. Your partnership with Butler is huge. And for you guys to be one of the oldest Butler career builder with them, and almost 70 years of history there.
Yeah, the value in acquiring the company, really, what I saw was the Chapel name in the area and the relationship with Butler. Those were paramount in my decision to get involved here.
Well, so, if people want to get a hold of you, they can go to your website. It's chapeldb.com. That's chapeledb.com.
Yeah, I want to point out, by the way, if you're driving in your car and you can't remember that spelling, don't worry about it because we bought all the URLs around it. So
that's great.
You can spell the word chapel, chapelle.
That's brilliant. So
yeah.
chapeldb.com.
Yeah, just go on and you'll
find
us.
And then if you are in front of your phone, you could give Peter a call right now at 630-523-5590. Is that correct?
It is correct.
So you've been hearing from Peter Fazio here on Part of the Answer. Peter, anything else that you want to say before we jump off?
No, I mean, other than the fact that it's an exciting time to be not only a builder, but to be an American. There are a lot of positive things going on in our country, you know, politically, just in our society. I'm an optimist, and I think I'm very proud of my community and my country, and I'm excited about the future.
Brilliant. Peter, thanks for being here today. I'm Dan Ehrman here, filling in for Mike Scott on Part of the Answer on AM 560, The Answer.